Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
There's almost an element of like anyone can win it, but to do this is a different type of history.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Monday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Bob Rotella, who is, of course, Rory McIlroy's sports psychologist. He's going to join us from 7:30 this evening. From 8 o'clock, we'll continue the Rory chat with Rick Riley, the American sports writer. From 8:30, we'll be pivoting to rugby, Monday night rugby with the dream team of Gerry Thornley and Andy Dunn is coming your way. And then after 9 o'clock, Keith Tracy will be with me in studio for the football show. We'll be watching Manchester United versus Leeds unfold in the Premier League this evening, as well as reflecting on a bad weekend for Arsenal and a great weekend for Manchester City. Our number is 087-918-180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Stephen Doyle is here for tonight's news round. How are you doing, Steve-o?
I'm good, thank you, Mr. Shane.
Arthur O'Dea is here as well. How are you, Arthur?
Flying.
So it's exactly 1 year today since Rory McIlroy won his first green jacket, his first title at Augusta National. And I distinctly remember that evening as the drama intensified as Rory surged into a lead, then let the lead slip, and then it looked like he was going to bottle the whole thing, and they managed to cling on to a playoff and then subsequently win the playoff, and we were all emotionally troubled for many, many days afterwards. I remember thinking to myself, well, at least this is the last time that Rory McIlroy will ever make us feel like this. He will never put us through the ringer like this ever again. And how wrong I was. Those exact same emotions came rushing back all throughout yesterday. It turns out that actually winning the first one isn't the most important one at all. It turns out the present thing, the thing that's happening right now, is more important than anything else. It was a tough watch.
I felt it was tough whenever he dropped down to 9. I was thinking, that's this
curtains.
Yeah, he's not. It was silly of me, but I felt I didn't think there was any of the same anxiety around the end of it this time round. I know it was only 2 shots and ended up only being 1, but like it did, I felt even he was carrying himself with a kind of, I've got this. From a few holes out, he like wasn't making any mistakes.
How did he feel when the tee shot on the 18th goes off and Nick Faldo starts talking about the energy of the trees and the camera person has lost where the ball has gone?
Yeah, that was mad.
And terrifying.
I did think he'd missed the very last, but for a split second, I thought he'd missed the very last putt because they didn't show us the ball, the weird angle from it. And anyway, I do even wonder, was that some of the luxury of having the 2 shots? Does he make that same mistake if it's just one lead, a one-stroke lead rather than the 2? I don't know, maybe. I was cool last night comparatively to last year. Yeah. Last year was a disaster emotionally. But at this time, I thought, if this wasn't Rory McIlroy, we'd be like, it's a bit dull. The joy you have with him, for him doing it. But I didn't. I thought it was real professional.
It can't have been dull. I mean, if you literally thought he was out of contention, and then he came back to win it.
But for a guy who'd had a 6-shot lead, I mean, not 24 hours before or whatever it was. I mean, he certainly made it interesting over the 4 days. But I thought it was like, nah, this is pretty cool and calm here.
I found it so interesting over the course of the weekend how straight up Rory was about the importance of winning it once to his mindset. Playing with house money. I have a green jacket. This sort of language coming out mid-tournament, certainly after the second round being 6 shots clear, already got to 12 under. I found that fascinating. I wonder, did he too, midway through Saturday and certainly through Sunday, think to himself, oh God, this actually matters just as much as last year. This language about playing with house money actually is only just language. It doesn't actually matter when it comes to Masters Sunday, when there are a load of other people out there trying to take what's mine. They're literally trying to take the jacket off my back. Wrestle it away from me so I have to place it over their shoulders in Butler Cabin. I wonder, did he almost have a sort of realization of, oh God, the present is obviously the thing that only matters. And the present, I'm in a spot of bother in terms of my 6-shot lead.
I think he would have felt deeply, I don't know if embarrassed is the right word, but deeply troubled if he'd had to go and play the role that last year's winner has to play with whoever it was that got ahead of him in those circumstances. I think it was unthinkable. If you're like, you know, all those stats that kept coming, I was like, no one's ever had a 6-shot lead before, and all the guys with 5, I think bar one, they've all won it. It would have been an unbelievable way to lose whatever you've done before. Like it would have to be troubling. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any. There's no way you just rely on what you've done. It's like, it's fine. I don't care. I think he really would have cared. But it's an interesting way. Maybe it helps him on earlier in the week, contrary to last year where he kind of had a very slow start, didn't he?
Yeah, because I had seen a few people, certainly on social media, from America, kind of suggesting that there was some sort of arrogance in the way Rory was talking beforehand. This is something we're going to explore with Rick Riley a little bit later on in the show in terms of the American view of Rory McIlroy's victory, because there seems to be a tone out there as well that McIlroy's had great access to Augusta National in the build-up to this competition, and he maybe had an unfair advantage compared to the rest of the field. So that's something we'll come back on later on in the show. You do have some Rory McIlroy audio for us. Plenty of Rory McIlroy audio for us, Steve-O.
Yes, indeed. And I have to say, I was kind of enjoying the round, but it was the fact there was Scotty Scheffler behind him. That was the big kind of concern for me. But look, what a night it was for the now six-time major winner from County Down. McIlroy surviving that wobble on the front nine before climbing back to the top of the Masters leaderboard as he left Amen Corner. He ended the night on 1 under par for his round and 12 under overall, winning the tournament back-to-back with a one-stroke lead over the world number one golfer, Scotty Scheffler. Scheffler enjoyed a bogey-free third and fourth round, the first man to do so since 1942 at Augusta. I thought that was an incredible stat. Sadly for Shane Lowry, he endured another poor final round at the Masters, and his score of 80 saw him drop back to 1 under par overall, finishing in a tie for 30th place. Back to McIlroy, and his week was a bit different for him, having his mum Rosie and dad Jerry at Augusta to watch him win.
I'm just so happy that they were here to see it. They weren't here last year. I flew home as quickly as I could to see them, but for them to come this year and to experience the week with me, to play with my dad on Sunday, for them to see me off to go host the Champions Dinner on Tuesday, so to experience all these things and then, you know, to end up winning the tournament as well, it's been such an incredible week. It's had its ups and downs. I wish I would have made it easier after Friday night, but just incredible.
Yeah, that seemed to be a particularly special moment for him when he was making his speech afterwards as well, just having his parents to his left-hand side. Dermot Keenan's been in touch with a question for you, Arthur. Owen, could you please ask Arthur his thoughts on Shane Lowry getting placed in orange in today's performance rankings? Surely has to be a red after such a shocking last round. Wouldn't have happened on Arthur's watch. Of course, you're formerly Off the Ball Breakfast producer. That is a slot they do on Off the Ball Breakfast, in case anybody's not aware.
So
green, red or amber. People can understand what that represents. And apparently the conclusion was amber for Shane Lowry, despite yesterday being a very, very forgettable day for him.
Do you want me to litigate on that? I mean, I have no powers of persuasion on that. I often wonder about those things. Like, do you judge it by their own standards or do you judge it by some sort of emotional standard of how you feel for them? Like, you probably don't feel like you'd want to hammer Shane Lowry, but I suspect from Shane Lowry's point of view, he's absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
I'd say he's beyond disgusted with himself just for the way that it panned out.
Two years in a row.
Yeah.
He's had a bad final round 2 years in a row, which I think he needs to go back and review that. There's probably elements of his game, I don't know, fitness, that kind of stuff. Like, does that kind of have a bearing on his performance? But for it to happen twice in a row, to have a bad final round, I think that's something Shane's going to probably have to, you know, review with his people closest to him and his coaches.
He's actually got off pretty lightly, because the nightmarish round that everybody's talking about today is Hao Tong Li. And the fact that he was playing with Scotty Scheffler, I've seen people suggest online that maybe Hao Tong Li had such a bad Sunday that Scotty Scheffler was actually put off. He was like hanging around for so long waiting for this guy, particularly on the 13th hole. It's like kind of now iconic images of like the camera crew being unable to get to where Hao Tong Li is. So it's just this golfer in the distance in the bushes, as it took him like three shots to get out of trouble. Eventually gets onto the green after numerous shots and then puts it into Rae's Creek. And he signs off for a 10 on that particular hole, a quintuple bogey. That seems to be the car crash story of yesterday, as opposed to Shane Lowry. So maybe that's diverted the attention a little bit. You have some more McIlroy for us?
Yeah, the fact that he went into that third round with a six-stroke lead after two impressive first rounds, pretty incredible when you think about the fact that he did go three shots behind at one point last night, representing a nine-stroke swing before fighting back to win it. What was crucial to the 36-year-old holding his nerve to win was his practice in the lead-up to the tournament and some sage advice from a man who's done it all.
Yeah, I joked last week and going into this week, like, this place feels like my home course. I haven't played anywhere else in the last 2 or 3 weeks, really. So I felt prepared in that way. I felt prepared that, you know, wherever I hit it on the golf course, I sort of know what to do. I know where to miss. You know, I'm pretty comfortable with all the shots around the greens. And yeah, I think it is. It's a good blueprint. I said this earlier in the week, I'm not going to take 3 weeks off before every major, but to get to the major venues early, you know, do your preparation, play, and not just play and look at things, and like actually play, like go out there with one ball, shoot a score, you know, try to do it that way. I think, you know, and I've talked to Jack Nicklaus over the years about how he prepared for majors, and he would go the week before and he would simulate a tournament. He'd play one ball for 4 days, shoot scores, because so then when he got to the tournament that, you know, it was sort of, you know, it felt second nature to him. So I did a little bit of that leading up to here, and I think that's it's certainly a good way to prepare going into the next majors.
Yeah, he had optimum preparation for this tournament, I think it's fair to say. And I think maybe some people in their criticism of it are taking it a touch too far in terms of his advantage versus the field. And like, there's so many fascinating things going on. Just one quick text here from John that says, lads, Rory was like the Harrison Ford character in Raiders of the Lost Ark, escaping under a closing stone door while being pursued by Scotty Scheffler, the giant rolling boulder. It's not even worth kind of thinking about the levels of anxiety he had. Scheffler actually made that putt in 17. As you say, Arthur, maybe things would have gone differently in Rory's final couple of holes had that gone in. But a Scheffler versus Rory playoff would have been the most likely outcome, which would have been an all-timer. And I think now it's something that I've now got in my head that I'd love to see at some stage in their careers, a head-to-head on a major playoff. Any of the four. I'll take any of the four in a playoff.
Was it interesting as well, though, the way he immediately pointed to his tee shots at 12 and 13 in his final round when he was doing his post-round. And the fact that all week he'd struggled off the tee, not struggled, but you know what I mean? He was kind of wasn't finding the fairways at all. But to then come up with two brilliant tee shots at Amen Corner to go on and win it, like, was just...
The 12th was particularly mad, because when you're in that position on the leaderboard, you do what everybody else is doing, which is shoot to the left of the flag, aim for that bunker almost at the back of the green, do what Justin Rose did in terms of your tee shot and play it safe. And Rory was one of the few who actually went right at the flag on the 12th yesterday, which was mad stuff altogether, but it is why he has won this competition yet again. Like, it was kind of, you kind of felt it was bad karma for Justin Rose in that moment. I think the 12th was the same hole where he actually hit a rake on Friday. I've never seen anybody hit a rake before, but it hit the wooden stem of the rake and came straight back out onto the green. And then at that very same spot, this ball landed there. And it took him two shots to get out of the rough, or just at the edge of the green, really, yesterday, which was just the moment where it all unraveled for Justin Rose. So the 12th actually is a perfect encapsulation of Rory's round yesterday. But like, I was like jotting down notes yesterday as I was watching it, and after the three putt, the double bogey, and the fifth, I was just thinking to myself, he just needs to stay on his feet here. He just needs to keep his head, put a few pairs together, and just not let anything worse than this situation materialize. Because I thought Cameron Young was getting the rub of the green, to say the very least. And like, he was hitting the branches and they were bouncing out. Rory was hitting the branches and they were going deep into the forest. That was the difference between them for large parts of this week. And it turned out that's all he needed to do, because, you know, he had Cameron Young throw that early haymaker. He had Justin Rose throw a few haymakers, Scheffler, Russell Henley. And just by staying on his feet, he ended up winning the tournament with the exact same score he was at the end of play on Friday night. And then just as a final point on the driving, it's fascinating that his driving, or fairways found on Saturday and Sunday, were so much better percentage-wise than his fairways found on Thursday and Friday, and yet his scoring was so much worse. He just does not need the fairways. He was happy out in the pine straw.
Yeah.
Like, just delighted whenever he was going to the trees, except for on the 18th on day four. And when he made that three putt, when he made that double on four, his driving, I'm not saying his tee shots, his driving after that were pretty immaculate. On a couple of the par threes, he struggled, but with the driver, he was actually really, really good yesterday. And maybe that just gave him the bedrock of a solid enough performance to just stay on his feet and not get knocked out and just eke out another win.
Indeed. Interesting you mention old Rosie there on McIlroy, of course. Following Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus and Nick Faldo into the history books as the only back-to-back winners of the tournament. His victory has taken him to six major wins, moving level with Phil Mickelson, Nick Faldo and Lee Trevino on the all-time list. He spoke to Sky Sports today about seeing how 46-year-old Justin Rose going close again has inspired him to win more.
What Rosie is doing is sort of the blueprint for me. I feel like I can look at him and I'm like, okay, I can see myself competing at the highest level when I'm that age as well.
Do the Grand Slam twice, win a Ryder Cup in Ireland, three-peat next year.
Look, I have the opportunity to do them all, so that's amazing. I have an opportunity. Look, I've won two Masters, I've won two PGAs. Like, I've got a chance to win two Opens, a chance to win two US Opens. You know, I said last year after the Grand Slam, everything else is sort of a cherry on top or is gravy. And it is. Like, that was last year, getting over that hurdle. I just feel like it makes the next few years of my career, like, it's just got potential. And that's amazing. That's an amazing place to be.
Poor Rosie listens to that.
I know.
God.
It was one thing looking at Shane Lowry managing the energy to go and actually meet Rory after his round yesterday, after what he had been through on the course. Similarly, Justin Rose mustering a tweet yesterday congratulating Rory McIlroy. It's sickening. The one thing is that his game is so well suited to Augusta, clearly, that he's probably going to be back next year. We'll probably be having this exact same conversation about Rose going close to McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler being stuck in the mix there at some stage as well in 12 months' time. We've got loads still to come on Rory. We're going to be joined by Dr. Bob Rotella in about 10-15 minutes. He's, of course, Rory McIlroy's sports psychologist. And then Rick Riley, the great American golf writer, is going to join us after 8 o'clock to delve a little deeper. Our number is 087-918-180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. What have you got next, Steve-O?
Well, disappointing injury news from the Republic of Ireland camp ahead of that big World Cup qualifier away to Poland tomorrow. Ruaisha Littlejohn has suffered a flare-up of an Achilles problem, so she's been ruled out, but head coach Carla Ward has declared the rest of the squad fit ahead of tomorrow night's World Cup qualifier against Poland. The girls in green looking to earn their first points in the group after opening with narrow defeats to France and the Netherlands.
That game is live on OTB Sports Radio tomorrow evening from 5 p.m. If you download the Go Loud app, you'll be able to listen to that.
Now, big game in the Premier League tonight on, would you believe, 24 days since Manchester United last saw some action. They did, of course, train in Carlton House last week in the build-up to this one. In County Kildare, I should say. Not County Dublin, as the Manchester United social accounts kept telling us out in Carlton House. So the Red Devils, of course, drawing away to Bournemouth in their last outing, but still occupied third place in the Premier League. What a game to return for at home to their bitter rivals, Leeds United. Now, after Aston Villa drew yesterday, United can go 3 points clear of the Birmingham club and 10 points clear of the chasing pack, more importantly, outside the Champions League spots. Leeds won't be as ring rusty as they played and won that FA Cup quarter-final against West Ham last weekend. Crucially for them, though, they can open up a gap on third from bottom Tottenham, who lost yesterday. Leeds currently 3 points clear of the Londoners, and their boss Daniel Farke explained why they need to be careful not to get too carried away after that cup win.
To achieve the FA Cup success, to go through to the semi-final, of course the momentum is on your side, but within a split second in football, football, everything can change. And for that, you always have to stay awake. You can't allow yourself to be overconfident or not humble anymore. We know we need top attitude and top class performance in this difficult away game. And for that, we are fully focused on the contents. And but of course, we can also take some positives and some confidence into this upcoming fixture.
Host boss Michael Carrick knows how heated this rivalry can get between the two clubs, and he wants his players to embrace that.
That's why we're involved for these type of games, and we're certainly aware of it. I'm certainly aware of it. The players are aware of it. If the extra that it means on top of the standard 3 points, so we're looking forward to it. It's a big night for us. Yeah, hopefully it cranks it up, you know, and the stadium is alive. I'm sure it will be. It has been. It's been unbelievable playing at home, and the boys have responded and thrived off it, really. So, and with the supporters giving, you know, that balance and and coming with us and spurring us on when we've needed that. So I expect it to be the same, and with an extra little bit of edge because we're the being leads.
The big team news is that Brian Mbeumo is left on the Manchester United bench tonight, with Cesco starting up front. It's Sonny Lammens in goal behind Mazraoui, Yoro Martinez, Luke Shaw. It's Casemiro and Ugarte in midfield, with Bruno Fernandes in the 10, Cunha on the left, Diallo on the right, and as I say, Cesco up front. For Leeds United then, it's Carl Darlow in goal. It's Pascal Strauch, Biol and James Justin in their back three. Goodmanson and Jaden Bogle in wide positions alongside Tanaka and Ampadu in midfield. Dennis Okafor and Aronson behind Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Should just mention as well, Owen, Cobby Mainoo missing altogether for Manchester United. Michael Carrick apparently saying ahead of the game that he has picked up a knock in training late in the week, so that's why he's not in the squad at all for United.
Okay, you were on commentary duty yesterday evening, Steve-O, watching a very straightforward win for Manchester City.
What a game that was. City ruthless yesterday in beating Chelsea 3-0 at Stamford Bridge. A result paired with Arsenal's defeat to Bournemouth means City could go level by winning their game in hand and beating Arsenal next week at home. I'll be over at the Etihad Stadium with Brian Kerr for that game for Off the Ball next week. Arsenal away to City. And Guardiola, Pep Guardiola, should say, the City boss, believes that winning the League Cup by beating the Gunners in the final was huge for his team's belief.
Yeah, of course, win helps. Win the Carabao Cup against the best team so far, so of course helps. And to prove ourselves, that game helped us lift the title, but prove ourselves, okay, we can compete against them. Them so far, before of that, apparently, it doesn't look like. So that helps. The confidence, I said, okay, for now, for the future, next seasons, okay, we can make face-to-face against a team like two or three seasons have been extraordinary. I'm not there. I don't know what Arsenal thinks and the fans, and I'm not there. I know perfectly. I expressed a few minutes ago is my opinion against Arsenal. It's the best team so far today. It's the best team in England and Europe. There's no doubt. The momentum shifts like this. In 1 second shift. So in terms of results, the performance have been... That's why we were happy in the Carabao Cup. We said, okay, we can do it.
Amazing stuff. This is amazing.
There's no way that Manchester City aren't winning this game on Sunday.
You know those guys. You know you were talking earlier about McIlroy playing with house money.
Yeah.
Guardiola always strikes me as someone playing with house money. In this sort of situation, he has nothing to lose. There is no issue whatsoever. I love that. It's a proper wind-up. I think he probably believes it. It's probably like it's they're top of the league, so you're kind of, he can always just go like, yeah, sure, top of the league, they're true to whatever in Champions League, but that's great wind-up.
Like some of the stuff he said there, like he said, they have been extraordinary for two or three seasons. They've been extraordinary for two or three. They haven't won anything.
Yeah.
But he's like lavishing them with praise. You know, up till now, they're the best team in England, the best team in Europe. And it's just, he really is stirring it. It's brilliant.
We're going to have loads more on this with Keith Tracy after 9 o'clock on the Football Show. Just give us the latest on Tottenham.
Yes, poor old Tottenham. Christian Romero is set to miss the rest of the season with the knee injury he sustained their 1-0 defeat away to Sunderland yesterday. The club captain collided with goalkeeper Antonín Kinski at the Stadium of Light. Following tests, Romero is now expected to miss up to 8 weeks with a high-grade partial tear of medial cruciate ligament. His chance of being part of Argentina's squad for the summer's World Cup also left hanging in the balance.
And then as a final point, you might just give us the latest on Leinster and their injury updates ahead of the URC's return.
Yeah, Caelan Doris and Andrew Porter could be set to miss back-to-back games for the Blues, with the pair of doubt for this weekend's URC tie with Ulster. A decision will be made on their availability later this week, along with Josh van der Fleer. The flanker was one of three players to pick up knocks in the Champions Cup win over Sale, with Alex Usanov and Ryan Baird ruled out.
Okay, Steve-O, thank you very much for tonight's news round. We've got loads coming up over the next 2.5 hours here on Off the Ball. Dr. Bob Rotella is going to be with us after the break, who is, of course, Rory McIlroy, sports psychologist. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets, contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. It's subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off the Ball, daily.